the day after Christmas, and we never stop here at ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, and we talk a little baseball with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Before we get to that, let me tell you about the National Children's Cancer Society, based right here in St. Louis, and they have an event coming up. I'm a part of that. And they do such a wonderful job to help battle childhood cancer. The 7th annual Evening with the Cardinals this year. The featured guest will be Cardinals Hall of Famers Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. In the past 6 years, this event has raised over $1.3 million for families battling childhood cancer. A special feature has been added to this year's event, and that will be a VIP conversation with the president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak. An evening with the Cardinals will take place on January 26th at St. Louis Union Station Hotel, Grand Ballroom. There's a private photo session, silent auction, dinner, cocktails, and the Q&A with Jim Edmonds and Chris Carpenter. To be a sponsor or to get your tickets, head to thenccs.org. That's thenccs.org, and that's the National Children's Cancer Society. Coming up with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com, there's a lot to get into, even though we're in the offseason of the St. Louis Cardinals in Major League Baseball. The Andrew Miller signing, Shelby Miller, could he be coming to St. Louis? We'll talk about the third base position of the Cardinals, which is right now a strength in the minor leagues. The countdown right now at TheCardinalNation.com of the top prospects and also the top 10 stories happening with the St. Louis Cardinals this past season. So we'll get into all that with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. This is presented by Hair Salon for Men, and their home base is right here in St. Louis, founded in 1997. They now have 16 locations in St. Louis. You'll receive the perfect haircut because they keep client notes on each customer. So on each visit, you'll be assured that they know what you want. They'll do that in the privacy of your own cutting station. Complimentary beverage, relaxing shampoo, hot towel and a mint, complimentary shoe shine, all that for just $22. And that is at Hair Salon for Men. Hey, Blues fans, reminder you can join the party for all Blues action this season at one of Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill's 11 area locations. Score a hat trick of savings. Great food and drink specials available during every Blues game, including Bud Family beer specials, the $4 Jack Daniel cocktails, $5.99 Blue Sampler appetizers, the $4 Blue Note bombs, and the all-new Golden Bread cocktail for $5, and that is at Hotshot Sports Bar and Grill. Coming up from the Lou Fuse Automotive Studios, we visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com on ScoopsWithDannyMac.com.
Hi, I'm Ryan Kelly. At the Home Loan Expert Office, we truly bleed blue. We skate around the competition and we get our clients lower rates on better loans. If the credit cards have you in the penalty box, let us get you out with a cash out refinance. The 5-minute loan approval available at thehomeloanexpert.com. All together now.
Let's go Blues!
Enjoy the podcast.
Well, it is the day after Christmas and Brian Walton never stops at TheCardinalNation.com. Brian has talked about it all the time. His website at TheCardinalNation.com. It is rolling 365, 365 days a year, and that means yesterday and Christmas Eve and coming up on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, we continue, and it's every Wednesday. Wednesdays with Walton and our chance to visit with Brian Walton of TheCardinalNation.com. Merry Christmas to you, Brian. I hope Santa was good to you.
Yeah, same to you, Dan.
Well, was Santa good to you?
Yeah, great. And he's also been good to a number of folks who I appreciate those folks who decided to subscribe to the Cardinal Nation with our special that we announced last time around.
Outstanding. I think Santa was pretty good to Cardinal fans, too, because they were clamoring for a middle-of-the-bat type guy to get in the lineup. Well, they got that in Paul Goldschmidt. And then the attention was then turned to the bullpen, and they wanted to see a lefty. And the Cardinals went out, and they signed Andrew Miller. Just your thoughts on Andrew Miller and what he might mean to the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, I think the key with Andrew Miller, I mean, folks look at the money, and they say, well, 2 years, $25 million, might be as much as 3 years, $36 million. And, of course, for it to be a third year meant that Miller pitched well because the third year is a vesting option. So, you know, if he performs the way that he did prior to 2018, the Cardinals will have a guy that is, you know, arguably, you know, the best left-hander or among the top two or three left-handers in all of baseball. And you know, from 2012 to 17, he struck out over 14 batters per nine innings. ERA right at 2. Now, last season, he struggled with several injuries, but, you know, one of the things that was checked out very carefully was his shoulder, and he was given a clean bill of health. So, you know, hopefully the guy that, you know, had been so successful for so long is going to be the guy that the St. Louis Cardinals are going to get for the next 2 or 3 years. And again, you know, it's not the money. It's going to be his health.
Absolutely. And, you know, so many people go to your website, Brian, for the minor leagues, but you cover both Major League Baseball with the Cardinals and the minor leagues. And we saw a guy that you covered for many years in the minor leagues, then became a major leaguer. It's another Miller, and that's Shelby Miller. What's the latest right now with Shelby Miller? And also a follow-up to that, what do you think the interest would be for Shelby with the Cardinals and vice versa?
Well, Derek Gould of the Post-Dispatch reported that the Cardinals are interested in Shelby Miller. Folks, those who lost track of Shelby, you know, he was traded to the Atlanta Braves and then traded again to the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he struggled with injury and was non-tendered. And what that means is Arizona would have had to pay him an arbitration-level type of salary. And, you know, given his injury history, they weren't comfortable with that. So they basically made him a free agent. So there's a lot of folks out there interested, and you know, again, according to what Gould reported, the Cardinals are one of those teams that might be interested in bringing Shelby Miller in on a minor league contract. Well, I would imagine even Arizona, any major league club with a guy that has a history of Shelby Miller would be willing to bring him in on a minor league deal. The real question is, you know, what does Shelby Miller want? He probably wants a major league contract, which is why he hasn't signed yet. And if he gets that, obviously he won't go to the Cardinals. Where he fits with St. Louis would be if he wanted to be a reliever. And I think given his relative youth and where he is in his career, my guess, and it's only a guess, is that Shelby Miller is going to want to continue to be a starting pitcher. And if you look at the one thing that the Cardinals have a wealth of, it is starting pitching, both in St. Louis. And if you look at what the Memphis rotation could be, if Gomber or Ponce de Leon and maybe even and Hudson and Helsley and Cabrera. I mean, Memphis is going to have a rotation that is going to be loaded. So if I'm Shelby Miller, I want to be a starting pitcher. I want to get a minor league deal. There's probably 30 teams that will give him a minor league deal. And if I was Shelby, I wouldn't see a fit with the Cardinals.
I want to ask you, Brian, about third baseman. It's something that the Cardinals have lacked in many years and in many ways in trying to develop corner infield position players. And right now it looks like at the lower levels of the minor leagues, not only do they have one, not only do they have two, they might have three. Tell me about the third baseman that you're seeing potentially have impact numbers coming up in the minor leagues and guys that you think could be difference makers with the Cardinals in that system.
You know, I mean, if you step back and look at the Cardinals, and their failure basically to get a franchise third baseman. I mean, we can go back to Zach Cox and Brett Wallace, first rounders. I mean, Piscotty and Kelly were both third basemen when they were drafted. Now, obviously, they turned into good players, but at different positions. They spent over $1 million 10 years ago on a Dominican kid, Roberto De La Cruz, who they thought was going to be the guy. He never made it past Palm Beach. So the Cardinals have spent a lot of money and a lot of, you know, high draft picks trying to find a guy. And the guy that turned out to be their third baseman was a 13th rounder, the fifth-year college guy that was viewed too old. Of course, I'm talking about Matt Carpenter. But Matt Carpenter's 33 years of age. At most, he's got 2 years left in his contract. Jed Jerko, you know, also, you know, only has another year or two before he'll be gone. And now the Cardinals have invested again in third baseman, but this time they seem to come through. Of course, everybody's familiar with Nolan Gorman, who was a first rounder this year, a teenager from Phoenix. Then Yulerys Montero, who is an international player who played this year at the age of 19, and he was the most valuable player in the Midwest League playing for Peoria. And then a Cuban young man who was signed on July 2nd, and he immediately was put in the Dominican Summer League lineup, and in 44 games had an offensive season like nobody's ever seen before. And I'm talking about Malcolm Nunez, again, playing at just 17 years of age. So there's three good third basemen. The challenge will be to see how the Cardinals manage these guys as they're coming up through the system. Gorman played most of the year at Johnson City, rookie ball. and did very, very well there. They brought him to Peoria at the end of the year, and he struggled. So likely he'll be back at that level. Montero was at Peoria, and you know, Gorman moved into Peoria to replace him. Montero moved to Palm Beach for the final month, played well there. The question on Montero will be, will they feel they need to send him back to Palm Beach, or can they just jump him to Springfield? And that would be an opportunity for him in a hitter's environment, you know, in the Texas League, to show that 2018 wasn't a fluke and Montero was a legitimate prospect. That would obviously put him, you know, in the lead. And, you know, knowing how good Montero could be at Double-A is important for a couple reasons. One is he's got to be added to the 40-man next winter to protect him from Rule 5. But as I said, the Cardinals have got to be looking to the future at third base. And, you know, is Montero going to be the guy, or are they going to need to go out on the free agent market? And, you know, everybody would love to get Nolan Arenado if he's available and the Cardinals to get him, great. But, you know, if not, and they have to fill third baseman in-house, is Montero going to be that guy, or do they have to wait another year until Gorman might be ready? Nunez, on the other hand, you know, the question will be, you know, could he jump from the Dominican Summer League all the way to Peoria to open next season? And that's pretty unlikely. And it's doubly unlikely because, as I said, Gorman's probably still going to be there. So, you know, likely Nunez will come over and, you know, get acclimated to the United States and extended spring training. And then they'll look at whether they put him in the Gulf Coast League or Johnson City, probably. And, you know, if he continues to hit anything like he did in the Dominican Summer League, you know, he'll be in full season ball before too long as well.
With hundreds of wines and craft beers to taste and culinary delights around every corner, you're not going to want to miss the 17th annual Food and Wine presented by Schnucks. January 25th, 26th, and 27th at Union Station. St. Louis Food and Wine presented by Schnucks. Be a part of the largest food and wine show in the Midwest. Schnucks Certified Wine Specialist and Cicerones will be there. Tickets available at stlfoodandwine.com. Thanks to Schnucks. Brian, normally you and I go over topics before we conduct this interview, and this is something I'm going to throw at you that we did not have the chance to discuss. Matter of fact, a couple of things I'm going to throw at you, but one is a sad story. Josiah Vieira, and he's a young man that passed away at the age of 14, and that name may ring a bell for Cardinal fans. He was recognized in spring training a couple of different times, and he passed away at the age of 14, as I mentioned. He was diagnosed with a rare fatal genetic condition that gave him accelerated aging in children, and his life expectancy, as you know, was not long. It was between 8 and 13 years old, and many of the Cardinal players that made it to the big leagues became very, very close with him. And it was a painful arthritis in his knees, ankles. He had to stop playing Little League Baseball at the age of 10. He became a very important part of the State College Spikes, which was at the time a short season Class A affiliate of the Cardinals back in 2013. And many of those players wound up coming, as you know, Brian, to the big leagues. Tell our listeners and our fans what you know, and just, you know, your thoughts on this young man and his family, which really became an inspiration for not only the players, but the Cardinals organization and many around the game of baseball across the country.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Dan. Josiah was an inspiration because of the fact that while he had this rare genetic disease called progeria, which caused the premature aging, he never let it get him down. This was a young man who was always positive, and he knew about baseball beyond his years, to the point where he grew Oliver Marmol, who, as folks know, was the Cardinals' first base coach this last year. Oliver Marmol was the manager of State College at the time, and he anointed Josiah as his honorary bench coach. Well, Josiah said, well, no, I'm not honorary. I am the bench coach. And so he would actually give Marmol recommendations on the lineups that he should use against the – he would research the opposing pitchers and figure out left-handed, right-handed. And, you know, he would bring out the lineup card with the manager. And so he was known not only to the State College, the many players who went through State College, but also known to the other teams in the league as well. And, you know, the struggles that professional athletes have are obviously very important to them. But you look at my issue of, oh my gosh, I struck out three times today versus what this young man is dealing with. It just helps you keep things in perspective. And so, you know, Josiah was around the spikes for, I don't know, 3-4 years. And, you know, he touched so many different lives. You knew that he wasn't going to make it to what we would call adulthood. Unfortunately, his body was already into old age. And, you know, eventually that caused his passing.
Yeah, it's a very, very sad story. And here in this Christmas season, obviously, we keep him in mind. And certainly our thoughts and prayers with his family and friends. Back to baseball for a moment and transition into something that I love that you do. And again, I advise everybody to go to thecardinalnation.com. I love your look at prospects. And right now you have a countdown going down to the top prospects and also the top stories. So let's talk a little bit about the prospects. And number one will be unveiled, correct me if I'm wrong, on New Year's Day. But so we're getting now in the top 10. Any surprises for you in unveiling the top 10 and maybe the top 15 right now?
Well, of course, the question is, and the way we do our prospects, by the way, the real rules for rookie qualification are not only at bats and innings pitched, 130 and 50 respectively, but also the number of days that a player spends in the major leagues. That's not easily tracked, so we don't pay attention to that. So a player like Tyler O'Neill, who is right at 130 at bats, a pitcher like Alex Reyes, who's, you know, right at 50 innings, those guys still qualify. And, you know, one of the bigger challenges before Carson Kelly was traded was, you know, how do Kelly and Kisner stack up? You know, which one is before the other? Now it's a moot point now that, of course, Carson's in Arizona. You know, another question is, with these third basemen, how do you rank Montero versus Gorman? Gorman's a new guy, did really well in rookie ball, struggled at the same level Montero was at, but Montero's a year older. And then, you know, as you move to the top, Dakota Hudson still qualifies on our list, although, you know, that's obviously, he won't be there very long as we get in the next year. And, you know, should Alex Reyes stay number one until he proves he shouldn't be? And, you know, in all the years I've been doing prospect lists, we've never had a guy, you know, be number one 4 years in a row, but it looks like that's the case with Alex Reyes, and it's only because obviously his injury situation has caused him to be snake bit in the last few years.
Luke Fuse, we are St. Louis.
It's happened. It's now open. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri. The first standalone ground-up Jeep store in the country. Largest Jeep inventory in St. Louis. If you want a Jeep, Lou Fuse Jeep is the place to go. 22 service bays, accessories, apparel, state-of-the-art facility. Lou Fuse Jeep, Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri.
Lou Fuse, we are St. Louis.
How about your top 10 stories? What did you... And this to me is interesting because I forget some of the things that happened over, oh, I don't know, 7 months. So how about your top 10 stories?
Well, it's always fun. I just sit down with a list and I think about things that happened over the year. And traditionally the number one story is always what happened over the course of the season, whether that's good or bad. But you fill in the rest of it, and starting the end, the Andrew Miller signing was on the list. These young third basemen we've talked about. Yesterday was the unprecedented success of the Memphis Redbirds and Stubby Clapp. And, you know, given all, despite all the 213 roster moves that they had during the year and the, you know, the change of players that they were able to persevere and win a title. But not all the stories are good. Today's is about four of the major leaguers who struggled this year, Fowler, Cecil, Holland, and Gregerson. Will be other stories coming up will be the Tommy Pham trade and what that all meant. Obviously, a situation where your starting center fielder and your best hitter, you know, gets traded by the next August, you know, that was a big deal. The rookies who stepped up this year, Flaherty, Bader, Nunez, O'Neill, of course, the managerial change, the old manager going out, the new manager coming in, both of those were stories in their own right. The acquisition of Goldschmidt, of course, was a huge story as well. So there are a lot of things to write about, and it's kind of fun for me as I get to the end of the year to sort of recap that and then turn the page to next.
I love it. TheCardinalNation.com. And right now, Brian, I'm sure you're getting a lot of people getting fired up about spring training, and still people always in this town, as you know, they want to talk about Cardinal baseball, don't they?
Absolutely, and we're going to have for them information that they won't be able to get anywhere else, and that is before even winter warm-up, the Cardinals have their instructional camp in Jupiter, Florida, and I'm going to head down there and see what's going on in Roger Dean with the coaches and all the young players down there here in early January, and we'll be having that news exclusively at the Cardinal Nation.
Love it. Thanks, Brian, and Merry Christmas to you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Dan.